I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, despite Anthony Fauci taking the fifth over and over and over again, if you're not caught up on that story, he was before this Senate committee Rand Paul was chairing this morning, and he just took the fifth over and over. Rand Paul actually kicked the lawyers out of the room.
The attorneys are not recognized. In fact, the attorney was told not to sit at the table, and he's not obeying that recommendation. There's a row behind you, sir. That's where you were told to sit, and you're not. And now you're disrupting the proceedings. And so, look, this is the way Anthony Fauci wants to be remembered, for a lawyer not listening to the rules. That's the way you want to be remembered, and that's what you're going to do. You are not recognized, sir. Security, please remove him from the room.
And then this is what Fauci did each and every time. Even when Josh Hawley said, "What is the color of your tie?" I'm not even making that up.
Under the advice of my attorneys, I will invoke my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution to refrain from answering your questions. I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Yeah, so that went on and on and on. Dwayne Patterson with HotAir.com, host of the Dwayne's World podcast. That was quite something. I guess we shouldn't have expected anything else because we knew we weren't going to get real answers from Dr. Fauci today. How are you this afternoon? Welcome back from vacation, by the way.
Well, thank you very much. And why is there not a mask on Sue? I heard her cough. There's no 6 feet of separation in that
No,
studio.
There's only 3 feet.
There?
That's a very, very good question. I heard that, too. You know what's funny about that comment? You probably know this. The LA Times, and they've done this every summer since 21, they did a COVID story last week. They actually did a story with the headline, COVID cases are on the rise in California. They did it last August, too, and then they did another one. Like, well, I guess it's July still, but they did another one in August. And then they never did another one because it wasn't a big deal because it's like the cold now. But they still want to scare the hell out of people all these years later.
Absolutely. You know, I remember, my wife and I ride bikes all the time, and we would go out on the bike trails, and I remember getting yelled at because we weren't masked up on a bicycle outside by ourselves.
Isn't that insane?
We couldn't. It was the whole thing was absurd from the get-go, and I wasn't even necessarily an anti-vaxxer at the time, but when you had the police on a closed beach, and I mean, fine. There's nobody out there, and you can't congregate on the sand. I get that. There was one person that was trying to catch a set of waves. He had a boogie board. He's out there on his boogie board, surfing in the ocean. There isn't another soul within, a quarter of a mile of him, and the police came, hauled him out of the ocean, and arrested him.
That's Gestapo stuff. The things that we endured in this country should have never happened. But as you know, the reason it happened is because of the legacy media. You know, Dr. Fauci is responsible for a lot of this, but his stupidity and nonsense and lack of scientific focus, I think, is the one who, certainly forces in this direction. But it was the media that wasn't skeptical, that never questioned. I talked about Marty McCarry yesterday. Dr. McCarry would come on my show in the summer of 2020. And one of the things that he would always say, he wouldn't rip on Tony Fauci. He'd say, look, I just think it's dangerous right now to only have one perspective on this virus because there are other perspectives. And I'm a pretty qualified physician in my own right, which he was. Dr. Siegel was the same way. But no one wanted to hear what turned out to be the truth, did they?
Absolutely not. Because, and I heard you talking about this a couple segments ago, the problem with Fauci and the reason he got away with it and the reason the media went along with it, and we didn't question or didn't challenge any of the constructs that were coming out of the alphabet agencies in the federal government, is because, as we now learned, the guy had TDS. He was a lefty. He was a progressive. He was a big government progressive. How come so many people on the left are still in love with this guy? If you look at a Democratic Socialist America convention, like a Rules Committee convention, everybody in the room are masked.
I know.
Virtually anywhere else these days, and nobody's wearing a mask. And the people that are, they're the progressives. They're the lefties. They're the ones that are the control freaks. They want to be able to micromanage and control everything you're doing, right?
Well, look, the thing that, there are a lot of things that pissed me off during this period, but the people who angered me the most were the mask up types. And you know, I would have people say, what's the big deal? What's the big deal that you have to wear a mask, as, you know, to be nice to other people who might get the disease? Well, it is a big deal when you're being forced to wear a mask when you don't want to wear it. I mean, to be forced, my daughter was forced on an airplane several times when we went on trips to wear a mask the entire trip. Utterly, we did too. I mean, I flaunted the no mask as much as I could until someone would try to tell me to put it on, and then I would put it on. I would wear it on an airplane because I didn't want to get kicked off the airplane. But that was such nonsense in and of itself. We had this thing that happened at the Lake of the Ozarks, and there was a party, and people were outdoors at a pool. And then all of a sudden, there were some cases that spiked in St. Louis and St. Louis County. And the mayor at the time, a woman named Lida Krusen, put this big warning out about people who went to the Lake of the Ozarks and were outside in July of 2020 coming back to St. Louis, that they were persona non grata. They were not welcome here. And we needed to out those people. It's just a joke. You can even make a movie that had this many stupid things that this country did and match up with the reality of what happened.
Can I give you a microcosm for everything that was wrong with the masking stuff?
I mean, yes,
please. I'll give you two quick microcosms. Microcosm number one. My son is 22 years old now, and when he was in high school, when COVID was going on, he was in marching band. Outdoors marching band. He played trumpet, okay? My wife and I were part of the boosters, and for a year, they couldn't do band, couldn't march, couldn't do any of it, couldn't play. It was just, you know, verboten. When they finally relaxed the rules, a year and a half later, his senior year, they could play at a football game as long as they were in the visitor stadium 12 feet apart, and they had to have little bonnets on the bells or the horns of the instruments. Like if you're playing the tuba or the sousaphone, mm-hmm. you had to have a little prophylactic on the end of the bell to be able to keep the COVID from infecting somebody 12 feet away.
Because it was like this magical, because it was this magical smoke that came out of the tuba and would swirl around, and it would just climb right underneath those masks that people were wearing, right?
There was no science to it. There was never any science to it. It was all just policy pulled out of your hat. Second microcosm, my wife is a public school teacher. She teaches elementary school.
Oh, I don't think, okay? I knew that. Okay.
Yeah, she's a public school teacher. She's taught fifth grade for a long time. She's now kind of a vice principal, basically. And in the school where she's at, every school in America has its bad actors. It's got its bad apples for kids that are problem kids. They may have learning disabilities. They may have behavioral disabilities. There's always a handful in every school, right? The entire second grade, and I mean the entire second grade, both classes that are moving into third grade, they were 1.5 and 2 years old when COVID was coming down the pike, and everybody had to be masked. These kids, because they were still learning how to talk and learn how to speak, they could not see people speak. They couldn't see their mouth move.
So they were disadvantaged, of course.
So they were disadvantaged, and now it's 6 years later, and they're in second grade. They don't know how to read. They can't speak very well, and they don't know how to behave. They have no social interaction skills, and the entire second grade is a nightmare.
Look, I've heard this from teachers in my daughter's school. You can see that this has even had effects on kids that are in her grade. You know, she's going into sixth grade right now. It's outrageous. And by the way, you just made me remember something else that made me so angry during all this. My daughter was playing, I mean, she was 5 and 6 years old. She was playing basketball with a mask on. Playing basketball with masks on. That's what we did. It is insane. And by the way, it's the thing about it is I don't know where you are because you got mostly lefties in California, but we had a Republican governor in Mike Parson at the time, and we had a St. Charles County executive in Steve Ellman that was doing things that were very different than the St. Louis County executive, Sam Page, who thankfully is leaving office because he was a Democrat and bought into all the masking stuff. And we would have, you know, the mask mandate lasted a lot longer than it ever should have here in St. Louis, but that was because of our mayor in our county executive. And even with a red state, we still had to struggle with some of this stuff. You guys were in a completely different situation because you probably didn't have many people speaking up for you at all.
Absolutely not. Disneyland closed in March or April of 2020, and it was closed for 14 months.
I don't think I knew that.
By the time August came around, we were so stir-crazy, I actually booked a trip, took my wife and two kids, flew to Florida, where it was 98 degrees and about 90% humidity, and we didn't care because the park was open. And I think it cost us $6,000 round trip for four people to fly a week's suite at Walt Disney World on property and passes for four to all four parks, because that's how desperate they were to reopen and get business going.
Well, you got the best deal I think Disney ever offered, if that's what you got.
That's what we got, and that's what we did. And I would do that again in a heartbeat, even though you couldn't breathe back there because it was so humid. But we were just so stir-crazy, and it was just...
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's so insane. We said, the heck with this. We're leaving. And we went.
Do you play golf?
I do.
So that was the only good thing about COVID, by the way. If we're going to talk about the good and bad, all the bad, but the good was 20-minute staggered tee times, one person in a cart. That was awesome. I wish the golf courses would go back to that. So I have to at least point out there was a positive from COVID, yet that was probably the only one. So do you think there's going to ever be consequences for this guy? I mean, Rand Paul's up there trying to make some of the points he's been making for a long time. He's talking about contempt, but the lawyers, you know, had him, you know, say the fifth. So probably in all likelihood, no consequences. They're going to try, though, right?
Well, what they're going to try to do, and I'll answer this two ways. Will anything bad happen to Anthony Fauci on this side of the grass? Probably not. However, there is a case to be made because Rand Paul was very careful in how he asked his question set. He prefaced his question set with the phrase, dealing with the period of time covered by the pardon you have. And then he asked this question. As long as you're trying to ask questions in a time frame that was covered under the pardon, he has to answer because he has immunity. There is no legal reason. He has no legal jeopardy not to answer. And by not doing so, he can be technically prosecuted for contempt of Congress. I don't know if that will stick and if it will work, but there is at least a case to be made there. Now, the long-term effect. What did Anthony Fauci present the country today? Because everybody's talking about around the water cooler today, right? Everybody's talking about Fauci's appearance today and how smarmy he looked, right? So what did that remind us? Is everybody coming away from today remembering how bad Trump did in this in COVID? Not really. Are they remembering how bad the government lied to them and how worked they feel and how many loved ones died unnecessarily or how much their kids got set back in school? Yeah, they're going to remember all that bad stuff. And who's responsible for that? Anthony Fauci. And every Democrat on that committee is and still going to the mattresses to protect Anthony Fauci.
Except for Fetterman. He's the only one again.
And Fetterman, God bless him, John Fetterman dressed up in a suit because he wanted to actually look respectable and serious when he completely undressed Anthony Fauci.
Let me pivot here. Dwayne Patterson is with us from hotair.com and host of the Dwayne's World podcast. I'll take you to the topic of Iran, where you and I have talked about this now for months, and we have some minor disagreements, I think, on it. But here again, you know, I woke up this morning before all this Fauci stuff hit. We had a report that we were hit in a surprise attack on a force base, rather, in the Middle East. And, you know, my reaction at that time was, well, what in the hell? Why are we doing, you know, accepting this? And why the hell aren't we going to hit back? Well, Trump did say, and I think there were some strong words, we're going to beat the blanking blank out of them. But Dwayne, how he keeps saying we're hitting them hard. They hit us. Why can't we finish the job here?
I wish we would. And I still think it's coming. The piece I've filed at Hot Air today, a very long piece, kind of updates over the last couple of weeks what led to this. What Iran did yesterday with that attack on our base in Jordan was actually crossing a line that they had not done so this year, which is every time they've sniped it at Kuwait or Saudi Arabia or UAE or trying to take a pot shot at us, it's been a retaliatory strike after we had done something to them. That was always their cover, right? For the first time, after they begged Trump 2-3 days ago that they wanted a ceasefire, and he granted it to them, 2 days later, they decide, we're going to try and kill Americans. They intentionally targeted American forces in a base in Jordan. And by doing so, Trump finally said, okay, that's it. We're done. And right, I checked right before we started this segment. There was apparently 6 ships that were Iranian-based that are now on fire in the Gulf. Brad Cooper of CENTCOM just said, the president said earlier, since we reinstituted the blockade, 24 boats have been disabled and or taken offline. He was right this morning. He's no longer accurate because it's up to 30. We just hit a drone carrier the size of a World War II aircraft carrier that Iran still had, and it's now on fire. So we are doing the Lord's work here. I really wish that he would start just turning off the lights in Tehran.
I'm at the point too.
Look,
if he's going to say we're going to, you know, do the blanking, but let's do it.
Let's get the blankety blank going here.
Exactly, Dwayne Patterson. Awesome to have you back. Where was your vacation? You went on a little cruise, I heard, right?
I did. I know you got to go to break, but real quick, we started in Boston, went up to Portland, Maine, up and around Nova Scotia into French Canada. Went into the St. Lawrence River and down into Montreal. We were billing this as the Anne of Green Gables tour. The problem is the one stop on Prince Edward Island where Anne of Green Gables, the series of books, was written about, the weather was too bad. He couldn't get into the port, so we had to cancel that sea day. Every woman on the ship was hunting the captain down with torches and pitchforks.
Wow.
Meanwhile, the guys were like, sea day! More drinks, more beer, more whatever, and we just had a hootin' good time.
I did a cruise with listeners many years ago from New York to Nova Scotia, and it was awesome. And Montreal is a really cool city. I've been there one time as well. All right, Dwayne. Okay, I want to talk about Tony Romo just a little bit here because the body cam video of Tony Romo's arrest from Milwaukee last week after he was returning from a golf tournament. He said he was going to visit his grandparents. Tony grew up in Burlington, Wisconsin. He's actually very close friends with a couple of friends of my wife and I who live in Texas. I've never met Tony. I know his father, Romero. Romero Romo, his mom and dad actually are amazing. And his dad is quite the personality. But I like Tony. I'm just going to tell you before I go on this rant here, I'm a fan of his. And I'm certainly not a fan of someone drinking and driving. But let me kind of put this in the context here just a little bit. Look, I haven't had a drink since 1990. I'm very lucky because I did stupid things like a lot of us did in the 1980s. I honestly can't believe I wasn't pulled over at some point and given a DUI. And I'm glad I didn't hurt anyone and myself. But TMZ now has obtained and published the body cam video from the cop from the initial traffic stop and his field sobriety test. Now, I've seen a lot of these videos with celebrities and non-celebrities over the years. I think many of you have as well. And I put this up on the X, formerly Twitter. You can follow me at Mark Reardon, KFTK. Look, in this video, I think some people are reacting this way. I think his lawyers are going to have no problem getting this case either dismissed or just a quick plea and some fines, because of all the people that have been intoxicated and pulled over and asked to do field sobriety, Tony Robo might be the most polite person I've ever seen. Okay. So the officer, I think the officer is extremely overbearing here and rude. Look, I'll be honest with you. I've said this earlier to somebody. I'm not afraid, and I respect you people who do law enforcement. And, you know, I support the police in many situations, I would say in most situations. But a lot of you can be, you know, really overbearing. And, you know, you take this position and you think you're on a big power trip. And I think that's what happened with this female officer. I don't think what she did was very professional. That's just my opinion. He's trying to be as cooperative as possible. And I don't even see him failing the sobriety test. Right. So now they say they claim she says there were a couple of shooters in your car, like, I guess, shots. And he said, were they open? Because they weren't open. There was apparently an opened alcohol container. He says that he hadn't had drinks. So here's a little of the audio from this. I guess it's tricky because I'm not trying to say people should drink and drive, but I don't think Tony Romo was very impaired here at all.
Hi there. Deputy Corps, Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office.
Were you speaking on the speaker right there?
I was.
I didn't even know you guys said that. So sorry.
Right. It's a little hard to hear Tony here.
Yep.
That was what you said.
Yep. Gotcha. Reason for my stop today is the unsafe passing on the right, the lane deviation.
Say it louder, I'm sorry.
Unsafe passing on the right, cutting across the gore. Obviously, the gore?
I've never heard that, Sue. You're a traffic person, okay?
A gore? What?
She says cutting across the gore.
I don't know what that
I've
is.
I've never heard that in my life. What she's saying is that he even asked, and she's kind of a, I've got to be careful here,
yep.
But you'll hear him say, what? And she acts like it's a word that people should know. She's trying to say that he was passing on the right, and then he crossed over that lane. I don't know. You listen, you tell me.
It's the marked area.
Gotcha.
Where are you coming from?
It's the marked area. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that. No one's ever heard that. She acts like it's something that some people should know.
The golf course. And I'm going to meet Grandma and Grandpa.
Okay. All right. I'll take a driver's license from you.
You got it.
How many drinks have you had?
Zero.
You're coming from?
No, he says zero.
I'm playing a golf tournament in Wisconsin State after.
Okay. I'm going to run you through some fields.
What's that mean?
Field sobriety tests. Are you willing to take any field sobriety tests?
So he's asking, you know, she's asking him if he'll take this field sobriety. Now, they pulled him over on a bridge, and there was a lot of, you can hear the traffic going by. So what she eventually does is she says, okay, let's pull over into a safer spot, and that's where we're going to do some of this stuff. So the audio kind of picks up, I think.
That's going to be an even surface, free of debris.
Yes, I agree, so we don't get hit.
Turn around for me.
I get you.
So what happens here, this is when they handcuff him, and he says, I agree, this is not safe. We're going to do this stuff where it's safer. Because you do it along the road here, you could get killed, right? So they take him to a more private area.
You in all the way?
I'm in, yes. Okay. Uncomfortably, but yes.
I know, you're a taller fellow.
Yeah. It's a little bit...
He's trying to get in the car at this point, so I'm trying to get to the point where they're at the location where they do the sobriety test. He mentions he had two back surgeries. He's kind of stretching a little bit. But she asked him to walk 9 steps.
Any head injuries?
Well, this is kind of funny, too.
Any head injuries recently? Any concussions?
So she clearly doesn't. I guess she doesn't know who he is. And he kind of laughs a little bit because he's probably had like 15 concussions, right? But he says none recently.
Yes.
Well, over the years, yes, but not recently. No, we're good.
Okay. When you turn, keep the front lead foot on the line.
Sorry, one second.
And turn by taking a series of small steps with the other foot.
Yep.
I'm going to demonstrate with three.
Yes, thank you.
You will do 9, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Just sitting in there. Sorry, guys, 2 back surgeries. It does hurt.
2. You
not to.
Willing to submit to a PBT?
He says no.
What is that?
Machine that you blow in.
It's a preliminary.
It does not determine the results of
Oh, no,
test.
We're not doing that.
Okay.
I've already heard from all the lawyers, don't ever do that.
Okay.
Yeah, so he was calling his lawyer. Like, he even said, can I call my lawyer from the car? And she was trying to tell him no. I think Brad Young said earlier, you would always call the lawyer. Don't say anything to the cops. Look, I don't think this is going to be a big deal for Tony Romo. And I hope he wasn't drinking and driving. But I think the level of intoxication was way low compared to someone who shouldn't be out on the road. He didn't appear intoxicated to me at all in all these videos. He did the field sobriety. He put one foot in front of the other fine. He wasn't stumbling. He wasn't slurring his words. They say that he had bloodshot eyes, but I don't see a case here. I'll be honest with you.
He was being very nice. He was not behaving poorly.
No, he could not have been more nice.
He was just very, very calm, and he really came across well.
He was smart, too. He smiled in his picture because, you know that that's going to get released. The mugshot's going to get released. So, Sue, just quick story. This will be funny for the person on hold because he probably knows this story. He's in Colombia. I was arrested in January of 1984 in Mizzou for possession of marijuana, and that was my first instance with the police. Really, I think the only time I've been arrested, I could say that. But I had to go through the University of Missouri Police Department. And it was prosecuted through Boone County, but it was University Police. So I had to go over there and they took a mugshot and it was a Polaroid snap. And the first one wasn't a good one. And he gave it to me and he goes, hey, here, you can have this one. Don't send it home to mom and dad. I'm like, you mother scratcher. But that was an experience. I usually don't feel too badly when I make a guest hang on for a long time, but I do feel badly, Fred Perry, that you had to hold on while I was blabbing. My dear friend from Columbia, Missouri, former Boone County Commissioner, how are you?
I'm great. Good to hear from you. Once again, Columbia, Missouri is in the news.
Oh, unfortunately. So I've seen some of these videos, and I know that some of my audience has as well, but let's get into what happened over the weekend, because this thing downtown got out of control. Right now, we don't hear about this much in St. Louis. The Post didn't really cover this, unless you're following it social media-wise, which is where I saw it, or you're listening to my show. You probably wouldn't have known what happened, but I have a lot of people here that have students, going to Mizzou, et cetera, have Columbia connections like I do. So what happened, Fred, here the other night when these kids got out of control?
Well, unfortunately, Mark, this happens almost every weekend.
I know.
The difference is that we are, the city of Columbia has proposed a 1% sales tax to fund law enforcement. And so this incident went viral because the police actually responded to some of the abuse that was taking place downtown and fired off their pepper spray and went into, they arrested, I think 9 individuals. All heavy-set, middle-aged black women, and arrested them and took them, into custody. And, I think part of it may be a little bit staged to help promote this sales tax proposition. But the truth of the matter is this happens every Sunday morning about 2 a.m. These are not people coming out of bars. These are people that are tailgating in local church parking lots. They're mixing up their drinks in the trunks of their car and just waiting to sort of either beat up a fraternity boy when they come out of the bar drunk or pick a fight with each other. And so it's just chaos, and I think that but I think that for the first time, the reason why this has become a news item is that the police are actually doing something about it. They just have had to set back on their hands for fear of being, called racist or and so they're doing something about it right now, and that makes a big difference. You know what I mean? That's why it's a news item, and they should have been doing something all along. But because they want it's a $38 million annual sales tax to hire more police officers. They're suddenly taking action, and that's why it's a news story.
So I'm guessing that's something you support. Do you support the tax for it?
No, I don't.
Okay,
actually,
all right.
I hate the fact that our city, which spends money recklessly in the most irresponsible way, mm-hmm. is using our police and firefighters as pawns to get a sales tax passed. And once the city gets their act in order, which is going to probably take a long time, hey, I love cops and firefighters. I have 30 years of record of supporting them, both editorially and
I know you do.
And so it's one of those things where I don't like the fact they're being used by our city manager and our worthless mayor in Columbia.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to go to, is the leadership is just really, unfortunately, progressive college town. What you see is what you get. And there's not support. Look, we have the same things here, and these street takeovers take place here. We had an incident a couple of months ago at a Sky Zone in Shrewsbury, Fred. It's a location that my daughter goes to on a regular basis, and it was just one of those things, and I think this probably happens in Columbia too, where it goes out on social media. The kids are supposed to meet at a certain location. In this instance, they were doing like this 6-7 promotion, and there were like 350 kids that were stuck outside of the Sky Zone because they were at capacity. And they just started rioting. There's no real other way to describe it. There are stores in the shopping complex with the Sky Zone that were, you know, closed down because they couldn't handle the influx. The police were overwhelmed. And then my favorite part of the story, which is really sad, is that there was a 12-year-old girl in Florissant. So she's way up north from Shrewsbury, which is at, you know, basically Lindbergh and 44. She sees the fighting on social media. She grabs a knife, Fred, and she heads to the location in an Uber. Now, how a 12-year-old does that, I don't know. But she goes to try to get involved in the fight. Now, that how do you fix that? How do you culturally fix that? I don't know what the answers are.
Yeah, you got to have a, I think you need to require a license before you're allowed to give birth to a child. I think you need a curfew of like 9 o'clock. And there's just a lot. And you need to start throwing these parents in jail. You know what I mean? Just that's the bottom line.
Well, we are starting to do that. I think the parents and the parental responsibility and some of this stuff is starting to come around. But that's exactly right. Like, where are the parents, especially when the kids are out at 2 a.m? And this often happens during the school week. It's not just the summer. Unfortunately. Now, the other thing that Columbia has become a little known for here in the last couple of weeks was the, I'm guessing you might have been there dressed in drag for the queer-led story time at the Boone Regional Library.
Yep.
Are you
what
kidding me?
What a special day that was. Wow. You know, we're always looking for things for our kids to do in Columbia, and that's one of the things you could do, a queer-led story time. Reading the book, Big Wig and Rainbow Saurus. And, you know, these are people, these are library employees who are entitled and they feel absolutely unaccountable. They do not have to, they're looking for a fight with the citizens of Columbia who pay their salaries. This is a unionized library. Our library employees are unionized. And I live pretty close to the library, as you know. And so oftentimes when the library closes, I'm at the stoplight headed home. And it's a little bit of a freak show walking across the sidewalk to their cars. But, you know, it's one. And I can tell you one thing. There is not a fitness plan in the library employee benefits program. So. That's a pot calling kettle black.
Shots taken. Well, I didn't want to mention that. Hey, are you, by the way, on a personal note, are you rehabbing that old house you guys had on Broadway?
Yep.
Is that what you're doing? Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
Well, it's not the house I live in, but I bought a house that was, I purchased two houses that had been slated to be torn down. And so I have gone in and purchased the house and committed to rebuild them. We have too many homes in our historic neighborhoods that are being torn down. People want to live close to downtown, so they buy an old house and they tear it down and they build a $4 million house. You know, and it just destroys the historical character of our community. And so, anyway, I kind of put my money where my mouth was. And it's been a fun project.
Well, I knew that you guys had Fred lost his wife, unfortunately, a couple years ago, Melody, who was awesome. But you had that home on Broadway for the longest time. I believe I was in that home pre-quitting drinking, which was before 1990, because I think I was at some Fred Perry parties, if I'm not mistaken.
You were.
All right. Hey, dude, I hope you're well. I hope all is well. I start to get to Columbia here during football season, so maybe we can catch up in person.
Yeah, but I can't wait to see you.
Thanks for coming on. Tell you what, we got a great lineup shaping up for tomorrow. Jonah Sarah's going to be here. Joe wrote a great piece in the Free Press today about data centers and the data center warrant. Very, very informational. We'll get into that tomorrow. David Zweig will be here on the Fauci hearing and what Fauci did to our kids. He wrote a great book called An Abundance of Caution. David's been a guest and has become a friend, so I'm looking forward to that.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I've spent a lot of time on Fauci today. We'll spend a lot of time on Fauci tomorrow. I'm going to go in a different direction here.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
I'm just going to be honest. I have been seething in anger today, not only about Anthony Fauci and all the nonsense that went on at that hearing, but about what happened in Seattle last night. And this is outrageous. It really is. And why it's not being condemned stronger in the sports community. I haven't seen ESPN touch this yet. Last night in Seattle, Washington. The Seattle Storm was taking on the Indiana Fever. That's Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham's team. Right there down on the floor, there was an Alphabet Mafia woman who, I don't understand, if you're trans, do you have to be as ugly as you want to be? I suppose that's part of it. And she's holding a sign that says, no hate in these United States, right? With her, you know, trans wear and all that stuff. Next to her, two young cis girls, probably. That's probably bad for them. One seems to be a person of color, and they're simply holding a sign that says, thank you, Sophie, for speaking up for girls. And they both have XXXY shirts on, of which I have many XXXY shirts, hats, and gear because I stand up for girls, not playing against biological men. These poor girls were not accosted by fans of the Storm.
Nope.
They weren't accosted by players of the Storm. They were accosted by one of the owners of the Seattle Storm. And at one point, she referred to these two girls, Celeste Keaton is her name, as blanking insane. And there's a young reporter by the name of Brandy Cruz that talked to these girls. Now, they're kind of being lighthearted about it, but they were brought to tears in the moment.
Well, we were just sitting there with our signs that said, like, we love Sophie, like, thank you, Sophie, for speaking up. And so we were holding on, just watching the game. Again, like, we were being super great. We hadn't said anything to anyone else. We were being super respectful. We were just holding our signs and cheering for both teams. Mm-hmm. And this lady, older lady, comes up to us. And she comes up to us, and at first I think she's going to be nice. And she asks, like, what are you guys doing? Something like
yeah.
that. And then it was like, Jesus loves everyone. That's what she told us. And I was like, oh, I know. Like, I'm religious. Like, I know. Like, I know.
Nice.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, I hope Jesus can forgive you for what sin you've done. And like, something like that. And then she told us that we were effing insane. And,
she's like, and she went like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, she said effing insane. Now she said the word, the young girls were being, you know, respectful of the reporter here. And Brandy even says, what did she say?
Yeah, stop this.
And stop pulling. Yeah.
And
for you guys
I
to
hope
come
God
here
can
and
save you.
This.
Yeah.
She said for you to come here and pull this
Yeah.
She said the word?
Yep. Yeah.
Did she say effing insane or
No, she's she said the word.
And nobody around you spoke up.
And I think I might have got part in there that shouldn't go in there.
I will say, Annalie, when I came over, you were in tears.
Yeah, I've never been yelled at like that. I mean, I've had people hate on me on the internet, but like it doesn't really affect me as much because it's just people online, but that just took me by surprise because I thought she was going to be nice, and then she starts like screaming at us and cussing at us. So yeah.
And so you said she walked away, and we thought that was kind of it. But she mentioned something to you about like working for the team, or
there was another lady that like told us like we were able to have our opinions, but we needed to not be political about it. And I tried to explain to her I wasn't trying to be political. I was just trying to support Sophie and support the other team.
And you
too.
Were just sitting there watching.
Yeah, we hadn't interacted with anyone except for like saying excuse me.
Yeah.
Like we were really nice and stuff. And then,
yeah, they weren't doing. If you look at it, they weren't doing anything. They were holding their signs. They were smiling. They were watching the game. By the way, Seattle really stinks. The Fever beat them big time. But these two girls weren't doing anything.
Lady told us like, well, you know who that is? And we were like.
So what was your reaction when I texted you that is the owner of the team?
It's just sad. We were like, what? Yeah, we were shocked.
Yeah.
It's disappointing, though, too, because she's also a woman, and she just kind of cussed out two 16-year-olds that were just trying to have fun. We weren't trying to be political. We were just trying to support Sophie, which I guess maybe that...
Can't do that.
And so overall, because I know that wasn't the only person who was like giving you a hard time, kind of.
There was more.
I mean, did you feel like they've got their no hate signs up, and did you feel welcome?
No. The whole time we were kind of on edge. I was like, should we pull our sign out? I don't know.
Yeah.
And the lady was sitting right across from us, and the two people on the side of us were like turning their back and trying to sit as far away from us.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did not.
Because
yeah.
one of them, when you sat down, did you notice that they had a... hate in these United States.
I didn't notice it till after she had said something like, Sophie's not actually speaking up for girls, which who else would she is, but anyways. Yeah.
I mean, just in general, like, you're at this sporting event that really is about the peak of female athletics, and for them, the owner, to treat you in that way for wearing this t-shirt, I mean, what do you take away from that?
That maybe we're not being very hateful, and maybe they should work on
think?
Being more kind to people.
I think that's a good takeaway. Now, the ownership group of the Seattle Storm issued an apology today after Celeste Keaton accosted those girls. According to, you know, the statement, it says, we are aware one of our co-owners made comments to two fans in attendance at last night's game. We apologize that this happened. Everyone who attends a Storm game deserves to feel welcome, and we remain committed to creating an inclusive environment where every fan is treated with respect. Now, I don't know what's going to happen here from here on with this part owner, whoever she is. The woman who did the release was named Ginny Gilder, and she's the majority owner. But this is a situation where, honest to God, if Celeste Keaton, the owner, doesn't go to apologize to these young girls in person, it's not acceptable.
No.
She needs to apologize to those.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.